This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, does the NBA player movement prove that they are at the forefront of what fans want in 2019? While Major League Baseball slides the other way? We'll dissect that question. I wrote a column about this after the Russell Westbrook trade. We'll dissect that coming up here on the show in approximately 17 minutes from now. And later on this hour, over the weekend, I went fishing with Gio, Greg Giannotti, formerly of the morning show here on CBS Sports Radio, now co-hosting Boomer and Gio on WFAN in New York and on TV on CBS Sports Network. And this morning, he did a pretty good impersonation of me on the boat. So we'll do that. We'll play that as part of soundcheck coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. Next hour, we've got Adam Rank who will join us, longtime Angels fan. He was a friend of Tyler Skaggs. He was in the ballpark on Friday night when they honored Skaggs and then threw a combined no-hitter, one of the craziest, most emotional, most encouraging, unbelievable sports stories of the year. The Angels honoring Tyler Skaggs, wearing his number, everybody wearing his jersey and his number, on a day where his mom threw out the first pitch and they throw a combined no-hitter. Outrageous. And the last time there was a combined no-no in California was the day Skaggs was born. Incredible. 27 years ago. So we'll talk about that day and what it was like being in that ballpark with Adam Rank of NFL Network. Coming up here in about an hour from now. And then also, Bud Selig's going to join us on the show at the end of hour number three. We now have this story that's getting more traction about the 18-game NFL schedule. That Roger Goodell and the owners would like an 18-game schedule. And the NFLPA is saying, no way in hell. No way. Packers chief executive Mark Murphy floated a compromise saying, quote, what we do know is our current preseason is not a good product. Our players don't need four games, and it seems like fewer starters are playing in them. Maybe another way to do this is to add one neutral site game and one international one for every team so we can use that to grow the game, end of quote. The 18-game proposal is now added with this caveat that owners say, let's go to an 18-game schedule, but you could only play in 16 games. So you'd have to have expanded rosters because players would only be contracted to play in 16 of them, but you'd play 18 of them, which is just kind of stupid and bizarre. Some have said, well, we don't really want backup quarterbacks playing two games a year anyway. So how about we make quarterbacks exempt to the 18-game schedule rule and special teams got like kickers and punters? Again, I mean, this is getting really convoluted and complicated. Here's where I stand on this. The preseason stinks. It's terrible. And it's unnecessary in 2019 to have a four-game preseason. 50 years ago, they had a six-game preseason. And right now, that seems totally insane. Except remember, when players 50 years ago came back to training camp, they had spent the offseason selling insurance, smoking cigs, drinking beer, and never picking up a football. You know, their season ended in January at latest. The final regular season game 50 years ago was right around Christmas. And then you'd have one playoff game or two if you added the Super Bowl in. So you're done by mid-January. And then you don't come back until July, which is 6 months when you don't pick up a football. Again, you're selling insurance. You're a milkman. You're selling cars. You're working on a conveyor belt at a factory. I mean, all of those guys had other jobs in the offseason. All of them. So they don't pick up a football. You come back and you're like, yeah, we need some time to get back into football shape because I'm going to be playing at the highest level of professional football, and I need some time to break back in after 6 months of delivering milk. I'm a beer distributor in the offseason. I need some time to get back to football. Today, these guys never put down a football. Mini camps, rookie camps, OTAs, conditioning sessions, off-season throwing sessions, constantly working out, personal trainers, practice facility. They're always there. Always. I mean, you know, yeah, you can criticize Odell Beckham or some other guys that stay away from mini camps or whatever, but it's not like Odell Beckham's going anything more than maybe a month without touching a football. You know that. And he's probably, even though he's not at his own facility, he's definitely cross-training and cross-fitting and doing all these crazy physical workouts with his own trainer, and then in between wearing dopey things to the ESPYs, he's then catching passes from like a high school quarterback or a teammate or something of his from high school on some field, you know, in L.A. I mean, these guys are always working. You don't need any more for preseason games. It is totally unnecessary. You know who needs four preseason games? Special teamers. That's what they do now. Coaches are looking for, who is my third safety? Okay? Who can I trust if three starters go down? Okay, I got to see this guy. I got to see this rookie. I got to see the second-year guy. I got to see this practice squad guy. Because if we need him down the line, I got to see him four times in August. We don't need four preseason games anymore. So the whole point is, preseason, the concept is dated and stupid. And the fact that we have a Hall of Fame game, which is five preseason games for two teams, is totally, utterly insane. But do I think we need 18 games? No. Look, I used to be of the opinion, more football, great. More football, more football, more football. And if an 18-game schedule extends the darkness of February another 2 weeks, meaning the Super Bowl is now played in late February, that basically gets us to March Madness. Then there's no down month of February. This feels good. This feels very good. But ultimately, we don't need it. Because when week 17 rolls around to the NFL, and that is now basically New Year's Eve, when we're in week 17, do you ever say, I wish there was two more regular season games left? Or do you go, I want to be at the playoffs. Let's get to the playoffs. Nobody at that point in the season is ever going, I wish we had two more regular season games. It's already enough. It's already enough. So I just don't think it's necessary. And the Players Association, again, if we're really about safety, it's kind of totally insane in this day and age with what we know about CTE and bodies breaking down. And I mean, nobody even wants to pay Melvin Gordon a full contract because he's a running back and he's been in the league for 4 years. We're now going to say, okay, now go out there and play 18 games. I mean, again, I guess if they do this caveat where you can only play in 16, but there's an 18-game schedule, again, do you want two games where there's backups? There's backups woven into all of these games? I mean, that just sounds dumb. So I don't think ultimately this works. I think what Mark Murphy suggests would be the best case scenario. Take all of these NFL London games and make them the preseason games. Great. What you do is two stateside preseason games, the last two, right?
In fact, what you do is you make the Hall of Fame game the kickoff of the season, of the preseason, obviously in Canton. And you have the last 2 weeks of the preseason in the States. And then the other preseason games are all over Europe. Go ahead. Put them all in London. Put them all in Berlin. Put them all in Paris. Who cares? We don't want them here in the States. We don't really care about them. We got enough. If you have two preseason games here, that means one per home team, or one team, one game per home in the preseason. So everybody can go see their one home preseason game. And then, boom. We're on to games that count, and you don't have to be selling your soul of highly competitive, highly important games in the NFL regular season battle to soccer stadiums in London. We don't have to go to Mexico City. We don't have to go to Berlin. We don't have to go to Tokyo. Play all those games in the preseason where we don't play them. We don't need them, and that's where all the backups play. And then you can sell that. You can monetize that. Look, if you really want to monetize all the football in London and you really want to get these people indoctrinated and you really want to squeeze them for everything they're worth, which, of course, the NFL does, take all of those preseason games and just have a tournament out there. Have whatever you want out there. Do whatever it is you want. You want to, the Jaguars can play whoever they want to play for 2 weeks, rotating. Have them play five preseason games. Who cares? That's the way to do it. International Series is the 2 weeks in August, and the entire league is out there. Fine. And then you can up your revenue, and you can do that whole thing, and then we don't have to worry about, you know, really important, crucial games in the middle of the season being played across seas, and then those teams having to come back and get back on the train and get right in the middle of the NFL regular season with playoff spots on the line after having come back from London. I mean, which is just dumb. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Justin's next up. He's in Melbourne, Florida, listening on 1560 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, D.A. Ready, set, hut, beam me up.
You got it, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on your Tony Romo take. I got to be honest with you, D.A. I thought I was the only one on earth that thought the same way you and Mraz do. I mean, finally, I guess the guy actually brought home some hardware this weekend since he couldn't do it on the gridiron. But my deal is the guy goes to the first team without proving himself. Doesn't start, you know, 4 o'clock game, goes straight CBS first team. I mean, let's be real. Jim Nance can make Mraz look like a genius, with all due respect. So I'm with you on that. The excitability, the schoolgirl. Oh, yeah. It's annoying. Good guy. But guess what? If you want friends, go to summer camp, Romo. I'm just here to listen to a game.
Romo, in my estimation, my humble estimation, would be well served dialing it back a little bit. Because yelling over Jim Nance, who's a Hall of Fame broadcaster, and yelping and screaming like in a first-person narrative, like he's talking to the quarterback that's under center, to me is over the top. But people love him. Like I said, I'm only one guy. I think the adoration of Romo's broadcasting is so overplayed, but people love him. So I'm not going to tell you what to like and what not to like. Media critics absolutely love him. The problem was ESPN thought that Jason Witten could do what Tony Romo did, jump into the broadcast booth immediately after his NFL career and be a star. And Witten needed time to incubate, needed time to get polished, needed time at a lesser, less visible level to actually figure out how to be a broadcaster. And when he was put on that stage right away, it was a disaster. So the NBA offseason has been crazy, obviously, now tapped off by Russell Westbrook to the Rockets. And there's this kind of incessant change around the NBA this offseason. And I wonder if this is not the future of sports. And I'll tell you what I mean coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Value, big upside.
Ben and this man together are magical. Write a check, cut the damn check, boop, boop, and we can entertain America. If you want it, write the damn check. Write the damn check.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Your mouth to God's ears, Bart Scott. 22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Holy smokes.
So glad you're with us on a fine Monday. Hey, the DA show is on YouTube, you know, because you could watch the show every day on the simulcast at watchda.com anywhere on any device. And the best of video clips appear on YouTube every single day. Russell Westbrook is now a member of the Houston Rockets. Can it work? I'm doubtful. I understand why the Rockets did it. They're better today. And they only had to give up draft picks to do it. They didn't have to give up players. They gave up Chris Paul's heinous contract. They give away one of the worst contracts in the sport for an aging point guard that's no longer worth what he gets, who is at odds with their superstar foundation piece, and they couldn't win a championship, couldn't get to the NBA Finals. Look, trading him away for a better player in Russ is a good move by Daryl Morey. Does it work? I'm very skeptical. I don't think those two guys will be able to coexist successfully enough to navigate the difficult waters of a Western Conference where Kawhi has Paul George and LeBron has Anthony Davis, and the Jazz are one of the most balanced and deep teams in the West. The Blazers are good. The Nuggets are good. I don't think that the Rockets now will be able to, with those two personalities, navigate through all of that to make it NBA Finals. But it's worth a shot, because without it, you definitely weren't doing it. So I get why they did it. But bigger picture beyond the Rockets and whether they can win with these two guys is that it's another chapter of a completely insane offseason for the NBA that in some ways it's unique, but in other ways, it's now the norm. You see, the NBA's unbelievable, unprecedented offseason of crazy free agency and trades this offseason, I believe, is the new norm. Because players are now emboldened and empowered to go wherever they want to go. And they're signing shorter deals than ever before, and they're leaving money on the table to control their freedom and their own player movement and their environment. You see, the NBA didn't do this intentionally. They certainly didn't build a system where they said, oh, this is great. Everybody will be changing teams every year, including like five of the top 10 players of the NBA. That's not what their intention was with the latest CBA. Their intention was to encourage players to stay with the teams that drafted them. The latest CBA was to avoid the original LeBron James decision. They didn't want the Miamis and the New Yorks and the LAs of the world to collect all of the players as soon as they could hit free agency. They wanted the Cleveland Cavaliers to be able to hold on to LeBron James. So they said, you know what? The player can get offered more years and more money, the supermax contracts, by staying put. And players will always take an extra year of guaranteed money and more money, right? Of course. Who's going to turn down less security and less? Who's going to opt for less security and less money? And the players have. They did. This is unintentional. But the players have said, we can't control how much we make because that's limited. That's a cap. So we can control everything else. And if we're really good, like LeBron and Kawhi Leonard, we'll take, and Kevin Durant, we'll take really short deals. And every year we'll apply pressure on our franchise to have to win or we'll leave. This is the LeBron corollary.
This has all changed because of LeBron James. LeBron was the first guy that held his organization hostage year by year. Michael did this a little bit in the late 90s on his final contract. He was making like $26 million a year and demanding that the Bulls consistently bring in talent and remain competitive. But LeBron took it to a new level and said, yeah, I'll keep signing deals and they'll be one-year deals essentially with a one-year out. And I'm going to apply pressure that you have to build a winner or I'm out. So players have seen this around the NBA and said, I'll do the same thing. I'll take less money and go to a place where I want to go, and I will execute my leverage so that the teams have to build me the team that I want to play with or play for. And so now players are in control. And frankly, I don't begrudge them because they're the reason we watch. I don't watch because of the owners. I watch because of the players. So if the players want to win a certain way and they're doing it to win, they're not doing it to not win. I mean, they're leaving money, so it's not just about greed. Okay, I can't kill them. But what has happened is unintentionally, the NBA is now the future of sports. Because we live in such a fast-paced sports world and world in general that we love the next, the change. We love that. We love that the news cycle continually changes. And in the NBA, we just had the craziest offseason ever. AD's a Laker. Paul George and Kawhi are Clippers. Kyrie and KD are Nets. Russell Westbrook is a Rocket. The Thunder have like 29 picks over the next five seasons. Everything is upside down and crazy. The Sixers have Al Horford. Kemba Walker's a Celtic. And we're already looking ahead to 2021. People going, Giannis is going to be a free agent in 2 years. And LeBron could be a free agent in 2 years as well. And maybe we do this whole thing again. And Paul George can opt out. And Kawhi can opt out. And Blake Griffin can opt out. And now suddenly we're doing this all again. This titillates the modern sports fan because it gives us something to always debate that's not the game. Few people watch all of the games, but everybody kind of knows about the news enough. So this never-ending speculation of where guys will end up fits perfectly into the modern sports landscape. It's a never-ending news cycle. In the offseason, it's more exciting than the regular season, and they're blockbusters. This isn't middle-of-the-road, guys. These are enormous, earth-shattering moves. And I looked at this, and I just said, in a world where we are building fantasy rosters every day, daily fantasy, fantasy trades, daily fantasy, all this type of stuff where we are constantly building rosters, the fact that the NBA has kind of become, okay, if my team stinks, I got another draft in the offseason. I get to recreate my playoff or my fantasy team every year. I got my fantasy draft. The NBA's become a fantasy draft. And people can't get enough of it. And I sat there and I watched yet another monster trade. Now Russell Westbrook to the Rockets. And I said, this is the future. Unintentionally, the NBA, by the way. And said it feels so different than baseball. Okay, because we're already looking ahead to Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron, Paul George, and Blake Griffin maybe being free agents in 2 years. And this offseason we watched Manny Machado sign a 10-year deal. We saw Mike Trout sign a 12-year extension. And Bryce Harper sign a 13-year deal. So those guys are now all locked up minimum until 2029. Now, they could be traded, but they won't be on the open market for wooing, for free agency, until they're no longer great players anymore. We won't have Mike Trout, the greatest player of his generation, available on the open market until the 2030s. Think about that. Meantime, LeBron is up for free agency every 2 or 3 years. There's a bidding war. And baseball doesn't have any longer that, oh, my team can get really good right away and the entire fortune of my franchise can change. That's not there. And what feeds a Gen Xer or a Gen Y or a Gen Zer? What feeds a millennial? What feeds somebody who's 10 years old right now? Excitement, juice, change, news. Baseball is going to lose all of that because guys are opting to sign 13-year deals. Bryce Harper just signed a 13-year. A 10-year-old today is going to be 23 by the next time Bryce Harper is a free agent. At that point, nobody's going to want him. And Kawhi? Kawhi's going to be a free agent in 2 years. LeBron's going to be a free agent in 2 years. Giannis is a free agent in 2 years. Now, there is a value to roster stability. I know. I mean, especially if you're of a certain age. If you're 50 years and older, you don't want every year to have to learn a new roster of your favorite team. You like same guys being on your team. You grow to love them. You grow to be familiar with them. I get that. But in terms of young people, they want juice. They want action. They want news. They want change. That's what's exciting. And in basketball, there's constant change now. And in baseball, there's none. None. Best players, yeah, you'll never see them as a free agent ever. They'll sign one deal. That's it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. I wrote a piece about this kind of culture shift that I'll tweet out here. I tweeted it out the other day, but I'll tweet it out again for you guys if you want to read that and put it on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day. Anthony Davis on playing with LeBron. Giannis has a request for the fans. And Gio does an impersonation of me on a boat. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Good morning. Enjoy your show immensely. I mean that sincerely, DA. I don't know what age bracket you're in, your 50s, maybe early 50s.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Close. Like minus 10 to 12 years. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
Too long. The DA Show every single morning, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. And watch the show, won't you, at watchda.com. Available on any device, including your smart TV. Watchda.com. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, CBS Sports Network brings you tennis like you've never seen it before. Don't miss this men's and women's action-packed showdown between Las Vegas and Washington. It's World Team Tennis on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
And doing more brought to you by the Home Depot, next generation home improvement, everything that you need to do Project Smarter, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Max Muncy, the Dodgers infielder, who had a tremendous defensive play in the All-Star game last week, draws a bases-loaded walk in the 12th inning on Sunday night to give the Dodgers the lead in the game that they won 7-4. Muncy hitless in the game, but came through via patience in the most meaningful plate appearance of the thrilling national televised game. Sunday night baseball, the Dodgers 2-3 for the Red Sox in a rematch of last year's World Series. Boston begins its first interleague series loss in Fenway, has its first interleague series loss in Fenway since losing to the Cubs in a series back in 2014. And our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico this morning. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. It is time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, let's hear from Anthony Davis on his projection of working with LeBron James.
The things you do on the floor,
pretty amazing. You know, you see it on you know, TV, and you're a fan. When you're a fan of the game, you watch it a lot. And I never really had a chance to experience, you know, playing alongside him.
I think they'll be fine. I think LeBron, at this point in his career, actually has the perfect setup here. Number one, LeBron recognizes this point in his career, he can take a step back and let others do most of the heavy lifting. And then I don't think he needs to be 38 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists guy. I think he knows he can take a step back and let others take over. And I think he understood that even at the end of the Cleveland run with Kyrie, allowing Kyrie to be more of a scorer. I also think that LeBron knows that if he allows somebody else to take up the scoring load and do a lot of the heavy lifting and put the pressure on the other player, he's better served for the playoffs when all that really matters to him is the postseason. And I think after missing the postseason this past year and not playing deep into the playoffs and 8 straight NBA finals, he's going to be much more re-energized and come back and play fantastic. So I think you're going to see a really good LeBron this upcoming season. And Anthony Davis is in his prime. AD respects LeBron. I don't think AD's ever been a bad teammate or tough to coach. He wanted out of New Orleans. That wasn't a good look. But I think he's going to fit in fine. Now, I don't know about the rest of that roster. To me, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo, crazy players, DeMarcus Cousins with Frank Vogel as your head coach and Jason Kidd watching over. Seems like a potential for a big-time debacle. But I think just for AD and LeBron, they'll be fine together, I believe. Here's Giannis, who has one request from the fans.
After this day, July 14th, please, please, please do me this favor so I can be better. I can be a better player. I can lead this team to a championship. Please don't call me MVP. Listen. Please, after this day, don't call me MVP, because until I win the game next year. So let's do it one more last time for this year, okay? One more last time, come on. MVP! 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 MVP!
Okay, so Giannis is cheering with the fans that he won the MVP this year. But was his request to not be called the MVP?
Yes, and immediately after that request, let's join in chanting at myself, MVP.
MVP! MVP!
Why does he not want to be called an MVP?
Because he wants to already focus on next year. He wants everybody in the street stop calling him MVP, because now the focus on next year is no longer the MVP.
He would be the reigning MVP, but he wants to focus on winning and next season when he...
Right. His sentiment was, we didn't win the title, let's focus on next year, let's stop calling me the MVP from this year. But, you know what, one more ego clap on the back. Start chanting MVP, I'll join in.
MVP!
I don't want anybody to call me MVP ever again. We move on. Forget about the season. Ignore the season. It's over. We did not win. I'm not MVP. It's over. But one last time, MVP!
MVP! MVP! MVP!
By the way, I guess judging by your voice, Giannis is Russian now. Is that what we're doing?
The best I got. The best I got. I love Giannis. I think he's so authentic. I think he's so grounded. He's so hardworking. He's such a great player, not a good player. He seems like a good dude. I really, truly hope that Giannis Antetokounmpo is a Milwaukee Buck for the rest of his life. That is a great sports town and an incredible sports state that hasn't had a lot to root for from its basketball team in decades. And Giannis is going to be a Hall of Famer. I really hope he stays there, because he is just such a great dude, and that fan base deserves having a guy to rally around like that. I think they're the best team in the East going into the season. To me, they are the favorites, beyond Philly, beyond anybody else, the favorites in the Eastern Conference. And finally, here's Greg Giannotti
Formerly right here, the morning show host on CBS Sports Radio. Now one of the morning show hosts on WFAN in New York with Boomer Esiason. Yesterday, I went out on Gio's boat and we did a little fluke fishing.
Damon Amendolara, who of CBS Sports Radio, came up to me in the hallway one day and said, "Do you mind if we go out together on your boat? I would love that. I love the water. It's something that I'm into. I love being out there. It'd be wonderful." And I said, "Sure, that's great."
Doesn't strike me as an outdoorsman.
Hey! Yeah, it didn't me either. I was a little bit surprised. I said, "What are you? You're a boat guy? You're a fishing guy?" "Oh, absolutely. I love it." And all of a sudden, I turn around and I hear, "Oh, no."
Did he catch something?
Well, it looked like he caught something.
Yeah.
And I looked over and he did catch something.
What did he catch?
My engine is what he caught. "I don't know what's going on here, but I think I've got the pole stuck on the prop." So I go, I said, "Oh, it's okay. We were almost done. We'd been out there for a couple hours. I was ready to go anyway."
Did you catch anything?
He got a sea robin. That was about it.
Sea robin?
Which you have to throw right back. They're very annoying fish. You can't do anything with them. But no, we did not catch any fluke. And he goes, "You know, you got to remember, it's there's just water going everywhere.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
boats
those,
flying in. There's like, some rocks.
It's like, yeah, it's like the rapids.
I mean, it is. The Merch's Inlet's a little bit dicey." So he goes, "I can jump in and untangle this for you." And I said, "Listen, it's a $7 fluke rig. If you get sucked out into the ocean on my watch over that, that's not a good look."
That would make for a great show the next day.
Seriously, D.A. lost at sea. Where's my rash? Where's the inflatable raft?
I got to give Gio a lot of credit, man. The guy is a pro boater. He knows everything about that boat. He knows about that boating life, and I just love being on the water. I really do. "I love being on the water, Gio. I would like to come on your boat, please. I'll pay for your lunch and your drinks at the marina. Please take me on your boat." Do I really sound like that? "I'll get in the water. I'll untangle my rig." I really felt bad because Gio went through what looked like quite a big deal to get the rigs ready. And then here I am catching the freaking engine, of course. I felt so terrible. I felt like, what can I do to contribute here? I'm coming after Mraz's block party, so I'm sure I'm not all that productive anyway. He's probably looking at me like, what did the cat just drag in here?
In the same clothes, mind you, that you were in for 48 hours.
Look, I had not prepared for this scenario, staying over the neighbor's house in Mraz's neighborhood after the block party. So I felt so guilty, so terrible, but he said I didn't have to jump in to untangle it. But it was a great day in the water anyway, and Gio's a master boatsman. Really? He's great. That was phenomenal. "I am so sorry. Where's Mraz? Get the life raft." And that is your sound check. Joe tweets, "DA, you know, being in Houston now, I got two bombshell bits of news. Number one, the Rockets traded for Russell Westbrook. Number two, Mama Mraz at the block party dissolves the huge freeze ban of the mothership. Oh my word, you're right. NBA news flies fast and furious. If you didn't hear this, I got this from the block party on Saturday.
I'm here live at the block party, and Mrs. Mraz, Mama Mraz, Nancy is here to declare something for the show.
I declare that the ban on Robbie Rosenhaus being on the DA show is officially lifted. Come Monday, he will be on the show.
Wow, now this is an enormous news break right here. What's the reason for your ruling?
Because I really like Robbie Rosenhaus. I think he's a very nice guy, and I rule.
There you have it, everybody. It's official. Robbie's back.
Adriana tweets, "I can't believe Nancy would promote someone that threatens her own beloved son's career stability. We all know the songbird wants to replace Mraz and the D'Aliens won't stand for it. Hashtag Team Mraz, hashtag bird hunting." Oh, so Adriana, hardcore antifreeze. Lonnie tweets, "DA, you are a man of your word and integrity. You said the ban on huge freeze was in effect until Mraz lifted it. You never said it had to be Sean Mraz. It was Mama Mraz that lifted it. Let's go, Hugies."
That is not a loophole. We know the rules. We're not going to play this game. My mom, after 17 Heineken Lights, is no position to be making this decision.
Why do you think your mom sides with Huge?
Because I think Huge rolls up in his big pillowy eyes, his big old self, gives my mom a hug and a kiss on the cheek, starts talking, oh, great house you have here. That gives her a good 20 minutes.
He's a charmer.
He charms my mom for 20 minutes. She comes around right after that, sees you walking, and go, what a great guy this Rob. How could you guys ban him? He's so friendly. Meanwhile, if my mom asked her to pick up groceries, he'd be an hour late to do it, forget three things, come back, and she'd be all annoyed. She hasn't seen that side of him. She sees the side of him strolling in, you know, empty-handed, but just compliments all over the place. Disaster.
The only three people from CBS Sports Radio that made the block party, myself, Huge Freeze, Carver High, producer Scott Frill. You don't give Huge some credit there for showing face?
Let's just do the math here. Carver High brings a big cookie cake. You bring a ton of beer. Huge Freeze brings his pillowy eyes. All right? That just tells you right off the bat what you need to know.
He's a taker, not a giver?
Yes. And he fools everybody. He's not going to fool me anymore. He's fooled my mother, and shame on her.
So the ban has not been lifted?
No, it has not been lifted.
Your mom said it's lifted.
Then you know what? We have the microphone there for the karaoke machine. She can have him come host a radio show for her while she's retired once a week.
We'll do a full deep dive on the block party this week for the PGP. Mraz was excellent on the DJ stand, the DJ mic, during luge hour, ice luge hour. When we come back, Adam Rank will join us. She was in Anaheim for the emotional night on Friday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.